The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, March the 31st, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. Hope you had a nice weekend. And joining me in studio, whether they had a nice weekend or not, they're here. Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
I know you guys are hockey fellas.
Yeah.
College basketball is having their tournament. Y'all heard of this?
Yeah, I watched some.
Okay. So,
I watched the Texas Tech game, the Red Raiders, where they had a 10-point lead against Florida. I thought I was going to watch an upset and kind of squandered it, but Florida's a good team, so.
Yeah. No, you're correct. That was against Florida. That Texas Tech came back and had that monumental comeback against Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah.
But anyway, I've got four of my four in the Final Four.
Did you?
Yeah.
I do want to let you know that as of this last Thursday, I don't know where I stand now, I was leading. We have a competition going here.
Yeah.
No bets, folks. We don't bet on it, but
right. Well, I did. Filled out nobody else did. But mine was through a bookie.
Oh, okay, good.
So it had nothing to do with us here at the ministry.
That's
it was something separate.
So
I'm absolutely kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
So save your emails and phone calls. Go ahead.
Everyone filled out their brackets. Well, a lot of people did. And as of Thursday, I was at the top on both the men's and the women's bracket.
Now, we do ours by points, right?
Yes.
So you get points for every game you pick
correct.
Through, not necessarily just the Final Four.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've got Duke and Houston. They'll play Saturday, and then Florida and Auburn are playing the other one on Saturday. So
yeah.
Ought to be fun.
The championship game will be on Monday.
Been some great games so far.
Those are four really good teams.
They were the number one seeds.
Yes.
So I mean they were.
So you basically picked the number one teams.
I did.
And it paid off.
It paid off.
Because there were not a lot of upsets.
No.
In the tournament this time around.
All right. So I do think a couple of these players and teams need to be drug tested because I do think they are playing like superhuman.
Yeah.
Okay. Duke. The Duke Blue
Devils.
I did
not watch the Duke game.
Yeah, the Duke. They beat the Tide. Beat the Crimson out of the Tide.
So it's just Tide now.
Huh?
It's just the
just
Tide.
They just beat the Crimson out of them. Hey, Alabama had a great season.
Yeah.
As did Tennessee and the other teams that made it to the Sweet 16 and the final Elite Eight. But only four teams remain: Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston. All right, Fred, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning. Well, we are watching the aftermath of an absolutely huge earthquake in Myanmar. Now, if you don't know where that is, Myanmar is in the northern Indian Ocean off the Bay of Bengal on the eastern shore. On Friday, a 7.7 earthquake. In the initial reports, the death toll was very small. But what has happened, we have learned the crumbling of huge buildings has resulted in a death toll now that has climbed more than 1,700. You may have seen pictures on the weekend of these huge buildings swaying. Some of these buildings, fairly modern, had swimming pools on the top and the water pouring out of that. Other buildings collapsed. And in parts of Myanmar, certainly the Muslim population is big. They were having Ramadan services in over 60 mosques were either destroyed. Over 700 who were attending services in these mosques were killed. And it's not over yet. They have a lot of buildings that are completely collapsed that they're still trying to, and this is, you know, it goes very slowly. We've seen this before in earthquakes. They expect the death toll to climb to hundreds more beyond the 1,700 that have been identified so far. It's just a horrible situation.
Well, and one of the problems I've been reading is that infrastructure has also been either destroyed or compromised. Mm. So getting in, yes, emergency vehicles and other rescuers are having a hard time getting in to some of these areas because expressways are damaged, yeah, and highways rubble in the roads. I saw, Tim, you saw, I think, this morning, someone, I think Steve Jordahl showed you some of the video.
Mm-hmm.
I seen this. I had seen this over the weekend. You mentioned these tall buildings swaying. People had not just pools on the roof. Some of them had, it looked like, you know, apartments that had a pool right outside,
yeah,
on the side of the building with fairly substantial glass siding, so nobody could, you know, accidentally fall off. But these buildings swaying and the water starting to go back and forth, punching out these panels of glass. And on the video I saw, there were people in the pool,
yeah,
when this started, and they managed to get out safely. But it was terrifying to watch these buildings, very, very tall, swaying.
By the way, just watching an update from Myanmar, from the BBC, they say the death toll has now climbed over 2,000.
That'll continue to go up as it they is. Find people.
It is.
So you said that, I've heard of that country, and I knew that it was in Asia, Southeast, it's in Southeast Asia, right?
Northern part of the Indian Ocean. If you look at the Indian Ocean, okay, then you go up into the Bay of Bengal. So you have Myanmar, and then just southeast of there is Thailand. If that helps you mark, yeah, that area a little bit more.
Okay. But the earthquake was...
It used to be known as Burma.
Okay.
Under the British.
But the earthquake was 7 point what?
7.7. And we had this discussion in our story meeting this morning. A lot of people don't realize that a jump, for instance, from 7.0 to 7.1 isn't a tiny jump. It is... In that Richter scale, it is an exponential increase as you go from 7.0 to 7.1, et cetera, et cetera. It gets many times worse with those small jump in numbers. So don't let the small jump fool you. It is huge when that happens. And this is 7.7, which I think Steve was telling us, because Steve is from California. If you thought the earthquake back many years ago, I guess it was in the 80s, early 90s in San Francisco was bad, this is many, many, many times worse than what we saw in San Francisco.
In terms of the strength of the earthquake.
Oh, yeah. And we saw what the earthquake in San Francisco, yeah, did. The bridges collapsed, the buildings collapsed, et cetera, et cetera. And continuing to show pictures.
And I would venture to say that their building codes aren't as strict as they are here in the U.S.
Well, some of the areas of Myanmar, like Ed was talking about these, some of the buildings that you saw, people took videos, they were swaying, which they are designed to do.
Right.
Modern architecture, yeah, is designed, the buildings that way. But earthquakes, you know, tornado, we live here in the southeast, and so we're not unaccustomed to tornadoes, but we get warnings.
Right.
Right.
Earthquakes, it can be a beautiful sunny day. I've experienced, yep, this living in various parts of Canada. It can be a beautiful sunny day, and all of a sudden things begin to shake. Yeah. It's just like that. You don't know.
You ever been in an earthquake, Ed?
Yes.
Where?
My last year of Bible college, we were in California, Costa Mesa.
Hmm.
My wife and I, we lived there. It was our first year of marriage, and we had a very small earthquake in California.
What's a small earthquake?
I don't even remember what it was. We could feel some tremors, trembling, and it felt like big trucks going by. But in fact, I wasn't even sure it was an earthquake. But then on the news later on, it was small. I don't remember the size of it, but
the biggest one I experienced was actually in New Brunswick, Canada, and it was the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and stars were all out. It was a beautiful night.
Yeah,
and we were sound asleep in bed, and it felt like somebody picked up our building and threw it up against a cement wall.
Wow.
It just rumbled and then slam. And it was so bad that our first daughter was in a crib. It moved her crib right across the whole room. It was that strong.
Good grief.
So that's one we remembered.
Yeah.
We really did.
I only remember one, feeling one, that was like when I was like 10 years old or something like that.
Well, getting whippings from your dad doesn't count.
Yeah. Well,
as an earthquake,
it was my own personal earthquake. I'll tell you that
here in Mississippi.
Yeah. And this would have been, as I say, probably in the early 70s. I don't remember exactly what year, but it was a earthquake enough to feel it. And yeah. the dishes were rattling in the cupboard, and it only lasted a few seconds, but it was. I think it had to do with that New Madrid fault.
Yeah.
New Madrid. Some people call it New Madrid fault that comes down to us in Mississippi from like Illinois and Missouri and up in there, down through there. But yeah, it was just a few seconds. But it was, if you've never felt an earthquake, it was really a, you know, sort of, whoa, you know.
Yeah, it's
like, now, do I have an inner ear infection or what? What's going on here?
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the one that I experienced was really basically just tremors. But people who've been in like you, Fred, now you weren't standing when it happened, but people who are standing, they just describe it as just the strangest, most frightening feeling, because we're all used to standing on solid ground and making your decision. You know, they talk about fight or flight, but what do you do if the ground's shaking, if the ground's moving?
Yeah, like you said, with tornadoes, for example, I mean, you get warnings, right, typically. Same with hurricanes. You know it's coming. But with earthquakes, it's like you're helpless.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you don't know when it's going to strike and then where you're going to be and what's going to fall from the
right.
You're going to be inside a building if the building falls down or what?
Or up 30 floors.
Yeah, 30 floors, yeah. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, normally special elections, off-year elections, don't draw a lot of attention. But tomorrow is election day, and people are watching two different states in particular, Florida and Wisconsin. In Florida, it has to do with two open congressional seats. The 6th District, which is in the Daytona Beach area, which is the district that was held by Michael Walls, who stepped aside to be President Trump's national security advisor. And the other one, that District 1, is up in the panhandle of Florida. That's the Matt Gaetz one. And of those two, the Matt Gaetz one is said to be fairly secure for the Republicans. And in both cases, in 24, the last presidential election, both districts, Republicans won handily. Democrats are focusing on District 6, the Florida's 6th congressional district, the one held by Michael Waltz up until he resigned to become national security advisor. The Democrats have spent, well, close to $10 million in that district alone. They are hopeful they can win that, possibly, if that was to happen, or they're going to believe it's a victory if they come close. In other words, that margin of victory from 24 is lessened. And I guess the attention's being paid more so on these districts because the Republican majority in the House is so small. In fact, to that point, New York Republican Elise Stefanik, who President Trump had chosen to be his nomination for the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., on Friday, President Trump announced he was withdrawing that nomination. And the reason being is that that cushion for the Republicans in the House is so small that they want to keep Stefanik there for now. And they're waiting to see what happens in Florida. But Democrats are fairly confident they're going to do at least much better than they did in 24. And perhaps they're hoping in that 6th district to actually win it. Take it from the Republicans.
Because the Republicans have a 218 to 213 margin in the House of Representatives.
That is.
And the problem is, if you lose three seats, just you don't have to lose five. All you got to do is lose three on the Republican side, then the Democrats take over. They have the Speaker of the House. They decide on, they run the different.
I don't receive that.
Well, I'm just explaining why President Trump is taking such a cautious approach prior to the election.
Yeah.
With Elise Stefanik. You don't want her seat going up for a special election as she takes over at the UN. I'm sure he'll reward her once they get past this with some other, maybe put her in the UN or some other seat afterwards. But
so is President Trump going to run a third time?
He says he's serious about this. Go ahead.
Yes. Why don't we hear it from the president himself? Cut number 13.
I don't want to talk about a third term now because no matter how you look at it, we got a long time to go. We have a long time. You know, we have almost 4 years to go. And that's a long time. But despite that, so many people are saying, you've got to run again. They love the job we're doing. Most importantly, they love the job we're doing.
So you said you were on 76.
Well, there's only one problem with that. I don't know who's going to tell him. But, well, he knows he can't run again straight up because the one of the amendments to the Constitution, I've forgotten which one.
22nd.
22nd. Way to go, Ed. You know your amendments.
Well, I'm looking it up.
What's the 19th Amendment, Ed?
That gives young people the right to vote.
Huh? Yeah.
I think that's right.
What's 12? Come on. I'm going to.
I do not know.
Okay. With President Trump, oftentimes
women the right to vote. My bad. Which the 19th one? Amendment.
Oh, the 19th Amendment. You said what did you
I said
say?
Young people, but that includes women.
Yeah, that's true. So, you don't know whether President Trump is, and this works great for him, is to his advantage. You don't know whether he's trolling or not. By trolling, I mean he's kidding around, but he's acting serious about it. You don't know, oftentimes, which, as I say, works to his advantage. But in this case, he can't run for president again, even if he wanted to, because there's something called a constitutional amendment that prohibits an individual serving as president for three times.
If you've been elected twice.
Yes. And, of course, that was goes back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was in his fourth consecutive time as president. And I think the Congress at the time, and it became a constitutional amendment, so it was voted on, ratified by the states, wisely decided that two consecutive times two times period, right?
Yes.
For an individual to be president of the United States was enough, because beyond that, you start establishing too much power.
Right.
And so I think that's a good idea. It's basically the same argument for term limits.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Which is why they had to go through a constitutional process to limit the number of times a person could be elected. Now, a couple of things. You can, like Gerald Ford did after Richard Nixon resigned, it depends how much time is left in the president's term when he, resigns or dies in office. A vice president can fulfill the remainder of that term and run two more times. I think if you served under 2 years, You can run for the presidency two more times. But the 22nd Amendment, which was started, the process was started in 1947. So this is a couple years after the conclusion of World War II. FDR died during his fourth term in the middle of the Second World War. And the process, I'm looking here, was finished. State legislatures ratified it in 1951. So that was obviously in response to the fact that FDR had won
but President four Trump times. President Trump had a unique idea here. He had a way around this.
Yeah.
He said that, do we have this?
No.
Okay. He said that, J.D. Vance, his VP, could run, right? Be elected, and then turn the reins back over to him.
No, he can't. So President Trump, and again, it's sometimes it is hard to know if he's trolling.
Right.
I don't think he is, but you never can tell. He may be the most mischievous man who's ever been in office.
Well, Allison, my wife said, you want to know why the left calls him a wannabe dictator? Yeah. These kinds of statements. But anyway, I think he did say that there's a long time to go and a lot to be done.
Yes.
Between now and then. I personally think he's, who knows, but I think he's just joking around.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he knows this kind of thing drives the left.
Oh, it lights him off like,
right,
an M8.
And he enjoys that.
Yeah.
He enjoys watching them.
Yes. Huh? Falling over themselves.
Set themselves on fire,
yep. Yes.
So to speak, politically. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim, Ed, and Fred. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our break a little early, and then Fred will, what's our next topic after we come back, Fred?
Well, the other big vote people are watching tomorrow is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because it does have national implications.
Okay, and we'll talk about that and other topics when we get back from this time out. Yes, I'm using a basketball metaphor to describe our break right here. We're going to take a fast break. See what I did there?
Yes, I like it.
I'm just taking this stuff off the top of my head right
Well,
here.
And come back with a full court press.
Absolutely. And that's from the hockey guy.
Right. So... We will be back, and I'll shoot.
Trying to think of another one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another one, but the time's running. Hear the music?
Yes.
Running.
The pressure's on.
The time's running out on him. The shot clock's running out. We'll be back.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio on this Monday, March the 31st. So what happens tomorrow, Ed?
Tomorrow's, you're talking about the special elections?
Yeah, but other things that happen tomorrow.
Oh, because it's April.
Yeah, some pranks.
April Fools.
People are going to be fooled, even though everybody knows it's April 1. a lot of people are going to fall for something.
You know, what's strange about April Fool's Day is that sometimes weird things happen and people go, wait a second.
That's right.
Is this because it's April Fool's?
Yeah, right.
But because weird stuff does sometimes happen. But
yeah. Tomorrow's April 1st, so beware. All right, Fred, what's the next story?
Well, just before the break, we talked about the other place as far as voting tomorrow that's getting a lot of attention is the vote for the control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has 7 positions. Tomorrow will determine whether the control of that court, it's 4-3 split, the control of the court goes to a conservative or to a liberal Democrat. To that point, the absentee ballots cast already is up 54% compared to 2023. Tens of millions of dollars are being spent in this. Elon Musk, for example, he is very involved. In fact, he was speaking at rallies there this weekend, because the conservatives understand that if this court control falls to a Democrat, it is going to have an impact, for instance, on abortion laws. A liberal will take the state even further to the left on basically open abortions. But the reason this is important nationally is if it falls to a liberal, a Democrat, control of the court, the big thing is going to be redistricting.
Yes.
That's what conservatives, Republicans are very worried about, because there is a belief that that court will give in to the demands of the left there to redistrict, and it means Republicans could lose at least 2 seats in the House. If a liberal gets that election. And that is why I think Musk himself has spent about $20 million in this.
Out of the $100 million that has been spent by both sides.
Out of the $100 million that's been
spent.
Musk was there this weekend, and there was a court battle over Musk, in order to try to generate even more interest in this, was giving away 2 checks, $1 million each, to 2 individual voters.
Too late?
No.
Get in on that?
Sorry, Tim.
He's
already given them out.
Oh, okay.
The Democrats went to court saying, this is illegal. But the courts did not take that up because these people were given, apparently, I'm told, the report is, they were given the $1 million checks after they voted.
So it's not buying votes.
He wasn't buying votes. But he is there just to... Musk has been there. Like I say, he was speaking at rallies on the weekend, just trying to charge people up to get out. And
showed up at one of the rallies in a cheese hat.
Yes, he did.
Cheese heads.
Yes, he did. And anyway, so we're certainly going to be watching this tomorrow, and we'll be here to give you the results on Wednesday.
What do you think Elon Musk's motivation here is in getting so involved in politics and government and being so public about it?
I think, now, of course, I don't know the man. But I think he really does love the country. I think he honestly sees the dangerous path we were on and still are in a lot of ways in terms of the woke agenda and the cultural Marxism. And I believe he understands correctly that this is a life and death struggle for the Republic, this era that we are in, that this must shift back to the Constitution and to morality. He is, by all indications, is not a Christian man, but he does understand that the wackiness and the moral subjectivity that's on the left is destructive. So that's what I think motivates him. Otherwise, the guy's a billionaire, owns multiple companies. He doesn't need this aggravation.
Right.
I mean, he's got plenty on his plate, but I think he understands that if this country goes down, then smart people like himself who can help humanity will be relegated to where all people go when a socialist government takes over, and that's the gulag. So
I agree. He has a, and I've heard him talk about this some, he has an understanding that the Democrat Party as it exists today, of far left socialistic mentality controlling it, that they are a threat to the free enterprise system, to freedom, right, to the liberty in many ways, and ingenuity will be threatened. And so that's why he feels strongly about this.
Yes.
And he can make a case for it. I've heard him talk about it. And so that's the associated with this? What do you guys, have you guys been seeing all these videos of these Tesla cars being vandalized around the country?
Yep.
By these unhinged lefties?
Yep.
One of them last night was a guy on a four-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like, to me, he weighs 400 pounds, and he just gets his four-wheeler, and he just revs it up, and he slams it into a Tesla car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but anyway, trying to make a dent in the, I guess he did. I didn't see the effects of it, but it was like, this guy's insane. He could hurt himself, seriously hurt himself, if he goes flying off that four-wheeler. And this woman, you saw her interviewed, right?
Oh, yeah.
This woman who owned it comes out and discovers her car's been vandalized. And anyway, go ahead.
She's not necessarily an Elon. I saw her interviewed on the weekend. She's not necessarily an Elon Musk fan or votes Republican. She just happened to own a Tesla vehicle.
Right.
She was in shopping.
Right.
And this guy is ramming the back of her Tesla. Over $1,000 damage this guy caused.
Right.
But now he got arrested, though, right?
He got arrested, and, you know, our attorney general is saying she's going to go after these people, especially these Tesla dealerships. They are being bombed. The cars in the lot are being bombed with Molotov cocktails. It's nuts.
Well, there's a Tesla takedown protest, and I'm not sure when this happens. Maybe it's today. But organizers are naming it. This is a story from San Francisco, ABC News there.
It was Saturday? Yeah.
Okay. So they had a one-day Tesla takedown national protest. They called it the biggest day of action yet. And the protests are going on outside Tesla showrooms, including multiple in the Bay Area. So that's the San Francisco ABC affiliate story that I'm reading. So now the protest, that's one thing. Okay, the vandalism and the firebombing, that could be absolutely considered as domestic terrorism. However, the point I wanted to make is this is being organized by someone.
Oh, yes.
Who's organizing this? I'm not trying to get conspiracy-minded here, but somebody's organizing this, and you have to ask why. Why Tesla? It's obviously connected to Elon Musk and Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. What is it that they do not like about that? I guess it's just the ever-expanding state and the administrative state.
You think
state.
It's organized?
Well, this says...
Oh, no, that is.
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about this day of protest or whatever. Right. What do they call it? Takedown?
Tesla takedown.
Global yes. Day of Action. And it's Tesla dealerships in Europe, too.
Yeah.
It's not just the United States.
Yes, but these individual attacks, which are almost daily, that are videotaped against vandalizing Tesla automobiles, which the people have nothing to do with. Are they on a car?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. they may. So they, but these unhinged lefties just can't help themselves. They've got to just ram a test or a key one. One fellow the other day, they caught him at a resort somewhere in New England, I think it was, and he was keying the Tesla car, and they caught him on videotape. And they said, hey, do you know how this, the police said, do you know how this happened, this keying incident over here? And he said, no, I don't know how that happened.
And it was him?
It was him. They said, well, we got you on videotape. So,
well, yeah, these Teslas all have motion sensitive video cameras. When someone approaches a Tesla, the video kicks on. That's why they're all being videotaped doing this. Now, these individuals, I see your point with the point you were making. This isn't part of any organized effort. These are just crazies.
Yeah.
I've seen videos, one with a woman with a kid in the back, and this man, full-grown man, drives up next to her at a stoplight, starts yelling at her. I didn't turn the sound on because I don't want to hear this guy's swearing. I'm sure he was. And then as she drives away, when the light turns, he keeps following her and catching up to her just to scream at her. These people are unhinged.
As if she has something to do with Elon Musk or the Washington or what's happening in Washington, D.C. or anything like that.
And this guy pulled out a gun in this one video I saw. Pointed a gun. It was in the holster still, but he pointed a gun. And I just thought, these people are, they're crazies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
Well, it is related to what we're talking about. There was a bombing this weekend at the headquarters, the Republican headquarters in New Mexico. You may have seen the pictures of this. The front door is just blown apart. Now, what I want to play for you first is a speech from a Democrat member of Congress from New Mexico, Teresa Leger Fernandez. She is, what we're going to hear is a speech she gave recently at a rally on how to fight Elon Musk, including to agitate. It's one of the words she used, agitate. All right. So let's have a listen to what she had to say. Cut number three.
I respond because people keep asking about me, what do we do? What are you doing? What more can you do? And we have a three-pronged project. Legislate, litigate, agitate. And you guys are part of the agitate part. So don't feel like we are hopeless or helpless. When we express our outrage and it is universal, they are forced to put it back.
All right. Then we have the bombing. This occurred before that bombing at the Republican New Mexico headquarters. The New Mexico County Commissioner, Amy Barella, was interviewed on Fox this morning about this. This is how she responded to this act of violence. Cut number four.
Well, I believe that she changed her statement as soon as I came out to the media and was calling her out on those statements. I mean, you're holding a town hall to discuss about the love of the community, and you use the words agitate, I think, is contradictory. The left calling out, and just instead of calling out for violence and in the destruction of the United States and across New Mexico, how about we come to the table and work together and fix the crime problems in New Mexico instead?
Yeah, what she's referring to there is that Congresswoman Fernandez, after the bombing, said, I didn't mean anything violence by when I used the term agitate. It had nothing to do, and I certainly condemn this kind of activity. But it's just a demonstration of what is going on out there. I think, Tim, you asked the question, why are people doing these things? Why are people attacking Tesla dealerships? It is just that they hate conservative values. They hate Donald Trump so much that they are willing to do these things. They want disruption. They want chaos because they believe that will help them win the next election.
And I'll tell you something else. It's becoming clear to me that the left has been the primary beneficiary of all this money flowing out of D.C. It goes to leftist groups.
Yep. Yes.
It goes to
almost
people.
Almost exclusively.
Yes. And listen, I know there are people who need federal assistance in terms of welfare and the various facets of that. There are people who need that. But there are a lot of people who are getting money for nothing. Social Security numbers of children. We've all been done these stories where they were getting loans during COVID. All this money flowing out. And there are people who don't want to see that gravy train stopped. I've been watching videos on X of these young people posting videos. Who's going to pay for my college now? Huh. Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to pay for that? And they are angry at Elon Musk because Doge is finding the waste of government money that's being spent, and they're primarily the beneficiaries of it. And listen, we either find out now where government waste is going on, or we wait for the government, for the country to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And then everybody's cut off. And so this is the kind of pain that we see being visited on people who have been getting money from the government for free, air quotes here, because it's coming out of tax dollars. But I think that's what's driving some of this rage too.
I no doubt about it. It's just, and what, you know, remember the left described Elon Musk, the Doge team, Elon Musk and his kids. Well, last week, Brett Baer at Fox interviewed Elon Musk with his team. They are not kids. They are CEOs of companies.
Right.
They know businesses. They know where waste is. And what they're finding is scary. Here's what's scary. It's been going on for years. It was going on under Republican
yes.
presidents. And the unbelievable, the huge number of, for instance, people collecting Social Security who, if you look at their records of their birth dates, are 120, 130, 140 years old.
Right.
Obviously, there's fraud going on there. And other things. I mean, they're going to look at the Pentagon. Today, I think it is, they're visiting the CIA, the Doge team, to see if there's waste there. And it really gets me, you know, they talk about, you hear Democrats responding, they say, look, these poor veterans of Veteran Affairs are losing their jobs, and this agency over here, all these thousands of people losing their jobs. These same Democrats never complained when Joe Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline.
Right.
And 10,000 pipeline workers were thrown out of work. These same Democrats didn't complain when Joe Biden put 8,000 members of our military out of work.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't take a shot. So they're not really concerned about these people.
Right. This is a convenient
yes.
Instrument to try to beat the Trump administration with. This is not a principled stand.
No, not at all.
When you're 120 years old, I don't even think you know whether or not the Social Security check is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is made it to your mailbox or not when you're 120.
Just as long as I get my tapioca, I'm good to go.
You're,
you know.
What is that, like a yogurt or something?
No, tapioca, it's pudding.
Oh,
if I'm 120 years old, that's almost double what I am now. That's all I have teeth for. Is pudding. What? That's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm not trying to insult it. I don't think any of our listeners are 120 years old.
I think everybody understands that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all my stomach can take.
I understand.
I can't take spicy spaghetti sauce anymore.
I just need
my tapioca.
You get past 100. Huh? All right. Next story, Fred.
By the way, I am getting to the age where that kind of comment is not as funny as it used to be.
Right. Okay. There's some truth there.
Truth hurts.
Truth hurts.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. A busy week. Tomorrow we have these special elections, the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. But on Wednesday is Trump's what he's calling Liberation Day. That's when these tariffs begin to kick in. And there's a lot of talk about the ramifications of all of that. Here's what the President Trump had to say himself about these tariffs. And he's talking about perhaps there's room for kinder tariffs. Cut number 10.
The tariffs will be far more generous than those countries were to us, meaning they will be kinder than those countries were to the United States of America over the decades.
Kinder tariffs.
Even if they're slapped on. Slapped tariffs on.
Gentler, kinder tariffs.
Yes.
That's what George Bush did, right?
Kinder, gentler.
Gentler America?
I listen, he is right. that some of these tariffs on certain products for United States products going to other countries are 200-something%. I mean, it's been crazy what the U.S. has put up with over the years, and President Trump is trying to level the playing field some. And man, the pushback has been tremendous from some of these other countries. And I'll give it to Trump. This man has a backbone of solid steel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he doesn't flinch. He doesn't waver when he gets some blowback. Like a lot of politicians, they wither under the winds of complaint and criticism, but not this guy. This guy is just got a backbone of solid steel. I've really never seen anything like it. He is so focused and so determined. This is what he wants to do. I'm going to be honest. I think he's only half joking about a third term. I do think he is mischievous, and he's probably partially trolling. But I think he realizes how much time it's going to take to set America back on the right course, and he probably knows 4 years isn't enough. At some point, he's going to have to turn it over to J.D. Vance or someone else to carry on this kind of MAGA revolution. But he's an extraordinary individual, and that's all I'll say about that, because he just won't blink.
No.
I thought he would have blinked. I'll be honest. I thought he would have blinked on some of this tariff language, but he's going ahead with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people aren't aware of, and you alluded to it a minute ago, Ed, of how this country has succumbed to the tariffs from other countries. Tariffs that Canadians have put on the Americans trying to ship, whether it's milk or other products, into Canada because they want to protect their industry.
Right.
What Trump is just basically saying, he's talked a lot about reciprocal tariffs. Whatever you're doing to us, we're going to do to you.
Yeah.
But the media is only doing the cry of the other side in all of this. You know, you talk about Donald Trump, it's absolutely amazing everything that's going on, and he's facing this judicial challenges to everything that he wants to do. And to that end, the Republicans are about to introduce a bill, probably this week, to try to restrict these rogue federal judges. Cut number five.
Well, we're going to use every lever we have in the legislative branch. We can do legislation. We have a bill that passed out of the committee 3 weeks ago, which says when one of these judges, district judges, trial judges, issues an injunction, it doesn't apply nationwide. It'll apply only to the parties in that case in that respective jurisdiction.
Yeah, and that's, well, a lot of people are talking about that. And if you care about justice, a lot of people are saying these federal district judges have far too much power. And, of course, what's happened is the Democrats, and we've talked about this before, simply go shopping. The ACLU, right. The Democrats, they just go shopping from a judge that was appointed by
Obama,
Barack Obama, or by Biden, or by Bill Clinton.
Well, I think something that a lot of Americans don't understand is that the federal court system that we have right now with district judges, appellate judges, the next level up, and then the Supreme Court, that was created by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution gives Congress the authority to create the federal court system. And who was this, by the way, that we just heard?
Jim Jordan,
okay. What he is suggesting is that Congress rein in these district judges according to its constitutional power. Now, that seems like it would have to be a bill that would have to, it would have to pass both houses of Congress. The president would certainly sign it. And I'm not sure, probably would be subjected to a filibuster in the Senate and probably wouldn't pass. But it is the kind of thing that Congress can do.
Yeah.
And they say, and so the law would then be a federal district judge can rule, and it applies, an injunction only applies in his or her district,
yeah,
not nationwide. Because to your point, Fred, you have these federal district court judges who are stopping what the executive branch is doing with a nationwide injunction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, that cannot be what Congress originally intended.
No, of course, a lot of these cases now are going to go up to the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court. A lot of people are saying, you know, if the Supreme Court justices don't stop these federal district judges, the federal district judges then are going to be perceived by the people. They're running the country all of a sudden.
Yes.
These unelected judges.
They have the power of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
To stop these kind of things. I certainly hope John Roberts and the Supreme Court will shut this down. Otherwise, it is going to create a constitutional crisis in our country.
All right. Well, that's just the world spinning.
Yes.
Things are moving fast. And I agree with you. We've talked about this before, but the energy and stamina of President Trump is unlike anything I've ever seen from a 78-year-old man. He's almost 79 years old.
And he wants another 4 years, joking or not?
Yeah. I said he likes to work.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we will see what happens. J.D. Vance would be the heir apparent.
Yeah.
Right there. I don't think J.D. Vance would run just to say, oh, yeah, here are the keys back to the White House.
Right.
After I ran for president and I won, if he were to win. But we'll see what happens. As President Trump did say there, that's a long way away. We were just into his first administration. Excuse me. The first months of his second administration.
Yes.
And, all right. When is Easter, by the way? Easter coming up?
The 18th?
Week from this Friday or 2 weeks from this Friday? It's Good Friday.
April? You're talking about 2 weeks from now? 3 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Easter is the 20th. Of April.
Okay. And then the Eastern Church, they said they got to be different.
I think they both Western same and time. Eastern, I think the same Sunday.
Okay.
I think all that's right. What somebody told me that, so.
All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.